presented by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Monday, May 6th, and here's what's driving the day. Republicans are preparing to weaponize the recent indictment of Congressman Henry Cuellar to try to squeeze Democratic opponents on the campaign trail. News that Cuellar and his wife are being charged with taking $600,000 in bribes from foreign entities, of course, comes just a few months after Bob Menendez and his wife were also indicted for bribery. Republicans, I'm told from sources, are plotting to use this sort of 1-2 punch to weave this narrative of a corrupt Democratic Party, or one that tries to sort of sweep these unsavory ethics qualms under the rug to protect their own. In the House, the NRCC has already compiled a database which sort of juxtaposes Democratic leaders and frontliners calling for George Santos to step aside with their silence right now or even defense of Cuellar. Republicans argue to me that some in their own party joined with Democrats to clean House and expel George Santos against their own political interests, of course, since they have a slim majority. And they're calling on Democrats now, who pushed to boot Santos from office, to actually do the same thing with their own colleague. In the Senate, the NRSC is hoping this pair of indictments will feed into these accusations they're already making against frontline Democrats on ethics matters. They've been blasting out reports, for example, about John Tester not living up to a pledge he made to publicize all his meetings with lobbyists or featuring his ties to special interests. They're slamming Bob Casey for paying his family $500,000 in printing services. One GOP strategist who works on Senate races told me, quote, "The Cuellar-Menendez stories amplified distrust of DC politicians, so the corruption hits pack an extra punch." One added benefit for House Republicans: Cuellar actually holds the seat that Biden won by 7 points in 2020, but Cuellar himself has a strong local and centrist brand and actually swept to victory by double digits. An open seat, should he be pushed out, would likely mean a more competitive race in that district this fall, another chance for Republicans to pick up a seat. Democrats, of course, we should say, argue that the Santos matter was totally different than Cuellar's. They note that the House Ethics Committee issued this scathing report declaring that Santos was guilty of a whole host of campaign finance crimes. Plus, Santos was roundly despised by his own colleagues for tricking voters about his own background. Cuellar, conversely, actually has pretty solid relationships with Republicans. But as that saying goes in Washington, if you're explaining, you're losing. And Republicans are betting that the public won't see a big difference between these two situations. Already we see one Democrat, Dean Phillips, calling for Cuellar to step down. The big question this week in the House is whether someone moves to force a vote expelling Cuellar, who ironically voted to oust Santos himself. Senior GOP sources told me last night that they wouldn't be surprised if this happens. And such a vote would undoubtedly put the microscope on Democrats, who will be forced to choose between defending a colleague versus the tricky public perceptions that would follow if they actually rally behind him. Item number two, can Johnson hold on with Democratic support? Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be forcing a vote to oust Speaker Johnson this week, as soon as today, actually. We'll see if she does it tonight. And this morning, we have some fresh insight in Playbook about what might actually happen after that. We have been saying for a while now that if House Democrats save Johnson, his position is going to be untenable, that more Republicans could join the fray and make it impossible for him to continue leading. But I have to admit that I'm starting to question my own prediction on this after talking to a bunch of conservatives in recent days. While members of the right remain unhappy with Johnson and, in fact, might actually vote against tabling or killing the motion to vacate, they're equally unhappy with Green for causing all this turmoil and might just give Johnson a pass to keep his gavel through the year with Democratic support. I recently called up a top aide to one of the 8 members who ousted Kevin McCarthy last fall and asked if his boss would join Green in such a situation. I was surprised to hear that he didn't think so. He said that there's been serious blowback on a lot of these members back home from donors, from longtime friends, not to mention primary challenges as well, in that a lot of these members who, you know, had the guts to boot out McCarthy don't want to go through this again and are not looking to join the fray at this point. Story number three, Republicans continue their campus offensive. After splitting and embarrassing, frankly, Democrats last week with a vote to expand the definition of anti-Semitism in discrimination cases, House Republicans are pressing forward with their campus protest offensive this week. The House Oversight Committee has requested the mayor of Washington, D.C. and the city's police chief to appear before his panel this Wednesday to answer questions about why they chose not to clear an encampment of pro-Palestinian protesters at GW. The same day, Virginia Fox, who chairs the Education and Workforce Committee, she's turning her attention to anti-Semitism in grade schools K through 12. The panel is hauling in public school leaders from liberal areas like Berkeley, California, Montgomery County, Maryland, and New York City. And atop that, Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan is still pressing the State Department and Department of Homeland Security about whether they're deporting students who are studying in the U.S. on visas and who may be joining these pro-Palestinian protests. The deadline for answers to Jordan's questions don't actually come due until next week, but expect these matters to remain a key focus of the GOP in the coming days. As for the rest of your schedule, the Senate is out, but the House is in. And this afternoon, President Biden will present the Commander-in-Chief's trophy to the United States Military Academy Army Black Knights. Later, Biden will have lunch with King Abdullah II of Jordan. Then, this evening, Biden and First Lady Jill Biden will host a Cinco de Mayo reception in the Rose Garden. I'm Rachel Bade, and thanks for listening.
A new study reports credit card rewards provide a lifeline for working-class Americans. Rewards like cashback empower low-income families to pay for everyday essentials. So why are DC politicians partnering with corporate megastores to end your hard-earned rewards? The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill takes billions from American families, lining corporate pockets instead. Tell DC politicians to oppose Durbin-Marshall. Learn more at electronicpaymentscoalition.com.